What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. It's Brian and Nick here to go through the Week 10 madness. Get you ready for a Week 11 waiver wire. Nick, how you doing today?
Dude, always happy to be here. However, I have been better. I did wake up to watch Jonathan Taylor and Drake London on my team, and you know, what a good start to the week. Only to watch Garrett Wilson, Dalton Kincaid, and Aronde Gadsden all leave and really get about 6 points between the three of them, and looks like I'm going to lose. So kind of an emotional week for me, but doing okay overall. We'll come back.
The amount of leagues I've seen like this week, people that own Jonathan Taylor and still getting the L, like that's rough. Absolutely rough to get that kind of a performance. And then,
yeah, this doesn't hurt as bad as having Alvin Kamara on Christmas Day score 6 touchdowns in the championship and losing, which happened to me, I think, 3 years ago. So this one just kind of feels like par for the course.
That day seems so far away now at this point. And then, like, this year, Alvin Kamara is not even going to get 6 touchdowns total. It's pretty bad.
No, because they refuse to use him to his skill set. Very weird, Kellen Moore.
Oh, I think it's done. I think it's done there. Well, folks, here we are. We're recording just before the Monday night game on Monday, of course. Right. So we're here to talk about the booms, the bust, everything that went right, everything that went wrong. We're going to cover some injuries and then, of course, the waiver wire dive into what we need for the Week 11 pickups. Let's go ahead and start with the booms. Who impressed you this week at quarterback?
Well, it's that Houston Texans quarterback that we all know and love, Davis Mills. He's everything we want CJ Stroud to be and just hasn't been. Awesome, incredible game. Seems like the Jaguars are always involved in some sort of, they just can't get out of their own way at the end of the day. But Davis Mills leading 20 points in the fourth quarter. This was turned into a really exciting game. So 292 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, game-winning rushing touchdown at the end. And, you know, Jacksonville, it's kind of the opposite of that Kansas City game where Trevor Lawrence fell and somehow was able to get back up, where this is how it was supposed to be. And it felt like a ball don't lie situation where it was like, yeah, you know, they're supposed to like go back to pass. He runs around, gets tripped up, throws it 2.5 yards, defender returns it for a touchdown. That is the Jacksonville way. But really good performance from Davis Mills and really exciting for Houston.
Absolute bonkers of a game. I could not believe, just like they kept flashing back to it on red zone. It's like, oh, we don't need to see this. This is done. No, here we go. This is getting closer. And yeah, Davis Mills getting everybody involved too. We saw a lot of the rookies. You know, we saw Higgins and Noel get more involved. I mean, Schultz was obnoxiously still there, but
yep. Nico, good game too.
Yeah, finally look at you, Nico. Top 5.
Come on, Nico.
All right, my quarterback I'm going to bring up. I mean, if JT wasn't in the MVP race, this guy definitely is. Matthew Stafford, QB2 so far on the week. 280 yards, this guy's thrown over 4 touchdowns in 3 straight games. He hasn't thrown a pick since week 3 and only 2 on the year. Matthew Stafford, man, getting it done.
Yeah, playing some of the best football of his career. And you want to give all the credit to Puka and Devontae Adams, which is probably the best 1-2 punch in the league, but they're 3 tight ends every week. You have no idea who it's going to be, and they just keep popping up. And you want it to be Terrence Ferguson, second round pick, but it's Tyler Higbee and Davis Allen, and you just kind of can't really guess, but Davis really Allen, Davis Allen, I know. Incredible football from the Rams. Really excited to see, and I hope they stay healthy through the playoffs because they were only one play away from beating Philadelphia last year, who steamrolled Kansas City in the Super Bowl. So they're looking good right now.
They're also kind of one play away from losing to the Colts this year, but we're not going to talk about that. That's not what we're talking about.
People, that's irrelevant.
Yeah, they just want to move on from
the people. Don't forget.
Finishing up the top 12 as we have it now, Jackson Dart at QB3, Caleb Williams at 4, then we've got Goff, Mac Jones, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen down at 8, Dylan Gabriel at 9, Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, Tyler Shuck, this, and Mariota at 11 or 13. Like, what is this? Mariota, yeah. Shuck, Brissett, Gabriel, like Mac Brissett. Jones. Nobody's playing these guys. Davis Mills. Why do we have all the good, like, oh, it's a hot mess at quarterback this week.
Yeah, and then down below, you've got Lamar at 15, Daniel Jones 16, Herbert 17, Tua 18, Lawrence 20, Bo Nix 23, Fields 22. Yeah, very, very weak. And it just reminds you why you don't really draft quarterbacks high, or you take the top guys and then you just kind of take who's ever left.
Yeah, they're kind of, they're replaceable at this point, we're seeing. Running backs, let's talk the big three, because Johnny T showing out, as you said, there in Germany, 244 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns, and then we had, 42 yards through the air. Devon Achane, 174 on the ground, 50, I guess I graced over the 3 touchdowns for JT. Like,
no, you said touchdowns. It. You're good, yeah. Another 3 touchdown game.
Just got like 5 on the season. LT, look out. Here he comes for the record. Devon Achane, yeah, like I said, 174, 51 through the air, 2 touchdowns as well. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, 142 yards, 30 through the air, and 3 more touchdowns. Like the stack right here.
Yeah, opposite of our QB list. Opposite of our QB list here. These are the top 3 of the top, 4 or 5 guys. So nice to see it just come to fruition here. Achane, incredible second half against the Bills there. Gibbs just does what he always does. And JT, man. He is. I could have used a little bit more so I could win my own league, but maybe we're splitting hairs here. I want to talk about Travion, RB4 on the week. I don't know why he hasn't been able to get on the field at all in any game script. He still only had 1 reception for 3 yards here, which is arguably his best skill set, but 2 huge runs against a solid Tampa Bay defensive line, 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdown runs of 55 and 69 yards. So super exciting as a Patriots fan. This is a high second round pick that we spent a lot of capital on. Really nice to see him get on the field, get the touches, and kind of see the explosive plays that we thought he could bring to the table.
Well, I mean, there you said it right there. Vrabel just doesn't want his defense gassed. Henderson scores too quickly. They don't want the offense scored in 4 plays. They want him.
No, it's the Mike McCarthy. Kellen Moore just wants to score too much, so we had to fire him because we need to run the ball a little bit more. But my favorite part about Henderson, and this is something my dad would be, feels like my dad as I'm saying this, was on his second touchdown run, he was running down the sideline, looking back at the coaches, trying to figure out if he should be sliding before he hits the end zone or go into the end zone and see what was the smart play. And he was willing to sacrifice himself for the team. And I'm sure every Henderson manager would have been pissed if he didn't score that touchdown. But I love that, and seeing kind of that team atmosphere and mindset. Yeah. And that's what you want from your young players. And to see that even as a very, a rookie. So he's already kind of got that mindset. And I really liked seeing that.
Other guys we like to see here in the top 12, we've got Kyren Williams at 5, Breece at 6, Tyler Allgeier, the touchdown vulture at 7. Kamani Vidal we have at 8, Woody Marks, Travis Etienne, Aaron Jones, and Zach Charbonnet at 12. Yeah, whatever. It's Zach Charbonnet at 12. It's fine. I'm not mad.
His touchdown was pretty sick. I don't know if you saw it.
Yes. I had to watch that go in and then the Hulani.
Oh, yes. Yeah. George Hulani. Classic. Ridiculous. This was a weird game, too.
This was dumb. A lot of defensive touchdowns in that one. Let's go to wide receivers. Give me your favorite wide receiver performance on the week.
Well, let's say a name who has no business being here. Jameson Williams. Yeah, Jalen Naylor. I was very excited last week. I talked about buying. I think for 2 straight weeks, I've talked about buying the Vikings receivers. And here you are. You're welcome, everybody. This is exactly what we were talking about. Jalen Naylor. Tied for wide receiver 2 on the week. Don't say we didn't see it coming. But, this was not a great wide receiver week. London, 104 yards and a touchdown. Naylor, 124 and a touchdown. Jameson, I'm excited to see Jameson. Dan Campbell takes over, and we start seeing some targets. And he actually went 6 for 7, 119 yards and a touchdown. The dude has skill. For whatever reason, they just refuse to get him the ball. I guess there's just a ton of playmakers on that team, but Jameson is a first round pick. They traded significantly up to get him. And he showed in the second half of last year. He's got crazy athleticism. He can be used all over the field. He's just going to be a hit or miss guy in fantasy.
With Dan Campbell taking over play calling, we saw a huge jump up in the play action. And that's what we saw a lot of success coming from them last year with Jared Goff and J-Mo. So I think we might see more consistency to come with him. He's still going to be a volatile player each and every week, but maybe we see more of these boom games than we did in the first eight games where it was absolutely rough.
Yeah, it's still going to be low floor, still going to be high ceiling. I'd like to see them use him more on the end rounds and stuff that they were using last year, but haven't really seen that too much recently.
Overall, not to take anything away from the wide receivers, we didn't have the three touchdown Drake London game like this week. You know, Drake London is wide receiver one at this point, six catches, 104 yards and a touchdown. That's good, but just kind of a low overall ceiling for all the wide receivers here. Emeka Buka comes in at 4, Nico Collins at 5, Chris Olave at 6, Ladd McConkey at 7, Tez Johnson 8, JSN, Roma Dunze, nice to see him back up here, Jalen Waddle at 11, and then a guy we haven't seen here all season, Jerry Jeudy, coming in at 12, and just a sloppy, nasty game from the Jets and the Browns, of course. Tight ends, of course, because we have to talk about them. They have feelings too, folks. We want to represent tight ends. And Trey McBride coming in at tight end number one, 9 catches, 127 yards, and another receiving touchdown. It's wild. Just the night and day difference between him and Brissett and then him and Kyler.
Yeah, McBride is somebody that I really went after this year. Again, it was like top two or three guys and then wait until the end. But he was only like 15 points behind Bowers last year. And he had one touchdown, two maybe, both were at the very end of the season. Yeah. So there was no reason for the full round discrepancy in the ADP between McBride and Bowers, but we're already seeing that come back to normalcy this year. He's having a really nice season. Someone we talked about on the buy list last week though, George Kittle, 9 for 9, 84 yards in the touchdown.
Awesome
touchdown. Really cool. Go watch that replay. That is some footwork. That's like a ballerina out there. And really part of the reason I even liked Kittle as a buy was because we thought Brock Purdy was coming back, which he did not. We saw another week of Mac Jones, but that buy window is probably closed now. But I do think with Purdy coming back sometime soon, I don't know. It seems like every week they say he's closer, but for like a month, I've been expecting him to return.
Right, we're finally getting good word on Pearsall, so maybe he'll be coming back too. The rest of the tight ends, we've got Juwan Johnson at 3, Dalton Schultz at 4, Tyler Warren at 5, Kate Otten, Colby Parkinson, yay, Theo Johnson, we got David Njoku, Jackson Hawes, awesome, another number, tight end 3 there, Mark Andrews at 11, and Luke Farrell at 12, another tight end 3.
Dude, Parkinson, I forgot to mention too, there's 4 tight ends on that team.
God, he is the 4th. I was sitting there thinking he was one of the, Davis Allen and him.
Higby. Yeah, Davis Allen, Colby Parkinson. And then they spent the second round draft pick on Ferguson, who was the lowest this week at tight end 25, all above Brock Bowers.
That's crazy. They've got 4 tight ends in the top 25.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. Let's talk about some ridiculousness, too. Let's talk about the lows, the downs, and really this one came all the way back from Thursday. You had to sit with this in your lineup for a bit. This game overall was disappointing. The Denver game with the Raiders. 16 completions, 150 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, and yes, that is -2 rushing yards for Bo Nix. QB 23. Definitely to search off hot this week.
Yeah, one of those weird in-division games. I think I've said my piece on the Broncos, and this is, in my opinion, a little bit of a fraudulent 8-2 team. They do just enough to win every single week, which you got to give them credit. You have to do just enough to win, but man, it is, you know, the Giants, the Jets, the Raiders, all these teams, they're barely beating. So once it gets to the playoffs and you start playing real competition, that's where things kind of turn around. So we'll see in the second half of the season. I really want to see them compete and see some of these high scoring, you know, shootout games with a real team. Let's get Buffalo and Baltimore in here and the Chiefs, and let's kind of get this thing rolling and see if they're a real team.
They've got a pretty easy schedule rest of season. Like, they've got a couple of obstacles there, but there's a chance they could be competing for that number one overall seed. I would not be surprised at all if they got bounced first round. This defense is great, but this offense is subject. Like, we just have no idea what's going to be coming out of here. So I love the season. It does not seem like there's a runaway team at all. There's a couple of elite rosters out there, but I don't think they're being coached as well as they should be. And it makes it fun.
Yeah, you kind of never know what's going to happen. And I feel like we forget this halfway through every season when we're like, whoa, we didn't really see that coming. And we usually don't.
Well, like, overall, scripted, of course, we just forgot what we read at the beginning of the season, what's in the script, you know?
Yeah. and terrible script for Jackson Dart. You know, when he read that, he was probably pissed. He's like, I get to come in and kind of be a hero for a little bit. And then they're just going to continue rushing me right up the middle. And soon I'm going to be the cause of, or not the cause of, coach getting fired. But I was watching that game and I was just thinking, they're going to get him killed if they keep running him like this. And then red zone switched. And then they came back and they're like, Dart, concussion. I was like, yeah, that is exactly what I just thought.
Yeah, he's been spending a lot of time in that blue medical tent this year. It's not good.
Yep.
You got any other quarterbacks you want to touch on as far as just disappointment this week?
Yeah. Sam Darnold started off incredible. And this game just kind of got out of hand really quickly. Ended up with 12 attempts, 178 yards and a touchdown. He had like a 45-yard bomb to JSN pretty early in the game. And then a bunch of defensive touchdowns, couple rushing touchdowns. It was, I think, like 31-0. And then there was some really ugly play in the middle there, but they just really didn't need him to do anything in that second half. So I had to start him in a 2QB league. I was very excited in the first quarter, but yeah, by the end of the game was like, man, they haven't thrown the ball in three quarters.
Yeah, crazy in a game where they scored 5 touchdowns. He only was a part of one of them. The 2 back-to-back defensive touchdowns. Set the tone for the game early, and it kind of shut up most of the points we wanted in that game. What else? Let's go to running backs. I mean, this one was a little hard. I felt like we're grabbing guys from the late 20s and 30s in running backs, but like, there's a huge cliff that we're hitting here. The running back I'm going to grab is Kyle Manungai. We had a lot of, is Swift going to play? Is he not? Just limited in practice going all the way up through Friday. It feels like Sunday we were getting just the decision that, you know, Swift is going to be out there majority of the time. Oh, man, nobody believed it. Everybody wanted to play Manungai. Well, Swift finishes as RB17 on the week, 98 yards rushing, and then Kyle Manungai just essentially got the touchdown. Outside of that, it was just 28 yards, 7 rushes. Wasn't great for him.
Yep, Swift out-touched him 18-7. If you're here, then you're probably in good shape, because we did talk about him as a sell last week and said anyone can do this against the Bengals. But when Swift comes back, I do expect him to still have a 70-30 or the worst case scenario, 60-40 split. Swift also had 8 targets and 5 catches. So kind of shows game script proof when this game is actually on the line, he's in there. But Manungai saved you with the touchdown, but still 28 yards outside of that, still a very low floor. He's going to be getting 5 to 8 touches probably in the right game script, but I still think Swift is the dude to own in this backfield.
Yeah, at this point, Manungai just kind of seems like an unsexy flex play. Like you said, there'll be points there from time to time, but ultimately you need Swift to go down for him to be.
Yeah, he joins that long list of good handcuffs.
Running backs that disappointed you this week, who you got?
I'm going to leave one here for you. So I'm going to say RB45, Bill Merritt. Once again, 11 carries, 30 yards. Just seems like this isn't really going to come to fruition. There was a lot of excitement, but we talked about it early. The odds of the 28th running back getting drafted, coming out as a rookie onto a team that arguably is kind of middling, in my opinion, is kind of low statistical odds to hit in the first place. But Chris Rodriguez.
Right after talking about Kyle Manungai, who's drafted right next to Cross. Yeah. But
yeah. And he had low odds too. So that's probably part of the reason I was open to selling him. And we talked about it as a stock last week, where it was like, his stock is not higher, or probably can't even go higher than it is right now, unless Swift goes down.
Yeah.
But Bill, your window's kind of closed there. You're just holding him and hoping that something changes in that offense, but it hasn't really shown it in the last few weeks.
And they get the Dolphins, the tough and rough Dolphins this next week in Spain. So who knows if they're going to be able to stand a chance at running the ball. Not
with that stout team. Dude, they have been the last few weeks, though. It's been a weird shift in identity in Miami.
It shows that maybe it's not necessarily like they're just in a lack of talent on this team, you know, and they just got rid of their GM. So maybe that kind of speaks more to why they chose to get him. McDaniel, I think he's a better coordinator than he is a head coach, but I think he might just be good enough as a head coach to like clear that line. But I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah, he's the Daniel Jones of head coaches.
I like that.
Thank you. He'll bounce around a bit.
Who else do we have on this list?
I see one more.
Oh, yeah, Ken Walker III. Yeah, he didn't do great. 15 touches, 70 yards. That's almost disappointing.
That's not bad, though. That's not bad, though. That's pretty good. They won't give him a touch near the goal line.
Why?
Because you got George Helani, man, and you got Charbonnet. Like, what more do you want?
So dumb. So dumb. It's last anyway. Season for my Ken Walker takes, though. Moving on. Yeah. Wide receivers. Who you got?
This one is a little sad, too. But DK Metcalf, 3 for 7, 35 yards. Wide receiver 46 on the week. Started off pretty hot, but, man, I blame the Steelers more than I blame DK. He still doesn't look bad out there, but he's just getting like double, triple covered all the time. And they just roll out there with Calvin Austin, who like he just closed fisted the ball in the second half. I don't know what happened. He just ran a quick slant. It hit him in the hands. And it was like, he didn't even open them. It just bounced into a defense. Like that's your wide receiver too. There's no other threat on this team. Freiermuth is a good, but not a great receiving option. Jonnu Smith has been Jonnu Smith for the last like 5 years, but we can't seem to get him off the field. But these guys are not number twos. And as much as Pittsburgh didn't want to give up quality draft capital for a receiver like Waddle or Olave or these guys who are technically on the block, if you're going all in with Rodgers, then you have to just go all in. Just do it or don't. But this team is not good enough to say you're all in for this year. And there's just not enough skill players on the offense to pull that off.
I mean, yeah, their sixth lineman, Darnell Washington, is getting involved a handful of these past few weeks. Like, it's frustrating. It really is. And this team, they're falling apart quickly. Like, that window for the Ravens to swoop in and take the division, it's opening up quite a bit.
The Ravens have had the highest odds of winning the division for, like, 3 weeks now since their bye. And they were like a 2-win team at that point. And they
Right now on NFL Network, like you look at the playoff picture, Steelers have the number 4 seed. They have the division locked up at 5-4. Right now they've got them at a 39% probability and the Ravens at a 73% probability. Ravens are 10th in the AFC standings right now.
Yeah. Like how is that possible?
Crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Oh, well. Yeah. Do you think, four. Does Tomlin miss his mark? Like, we made these jokes preseason. Like, this was being talked about. Oh, like, is this finally the season that Tomlin doesn't get it? Is Aaron Rodgers a part of that? Then they start off hot. And now it's a skid. Like, could this be the year?
I don't know. That he doesn't get 500?
Yeah. They need 4 more wins.
I feel like they will, but I don't consider them a real threat.
Got Cincinnati, Chicago, Buffalo, Baltimore, Miami, Detroit, Cleveland, Baltimore. It is a tall task the rest of the season. Like, if you want to say Cincinnati, Miami, and Cleveland are gimmies, that's Baltimore twice. I guess Chicago's in there, Buffalo. Like, yeah, ooh, it's a gauntlet. What else do we have as far as disappointments to the wide receiver?
I'll talk about this guy because we got into the debate last week, but Cortland Sutton, wide receiver 55, 3 for 4, 24 yards. His whole offense looked terrible. Mm-hmm. In the 1 week window, Troy Franklin is certainly winning this battle, but not, you know, the touchdown. Otherwise, still pretty low yardage on a lot of targets. So you got to think.
One, Troy Franklin.
what is he on the season?
God, I don't.
I mean, the last like month, he's probably up there.
He's wide receiver 21 on the season.
Yeah, pretty good. No Marvin Mims. Again, they just refuse to give Dobbins the ball inside the 10-yard line.
trying to find a stat. I think it's like something Bo Nix is like 24 of 25 passes downfield to Franklin have been misses. Like, it's just been absolutely horrific.
I don't know the A dot off the top of my head, but it is low. And Nix is always at the bottom of that anyway. But, you know, a lot of these design targets are very, very short passes. Mm-hmm. I'll move on to Pittman here while you, if you're looking up the A dot, but wide receiver 60, Pittman, 2 for 2, 19 yards. This guy's wide receiver 13 in points per game on the season before this week. Sometimes this happens. This is what we talked about with Roma Dunze last week. Everybody else ate. Tyler Warren, Alec Pierce looked awesome, really earning himself a second contract there. And it's part of the reason they traded away A.D. Mitchell or a second contract somewhere. But JT obviously did what he does. So they just didn't really need Pittman. And sometimes this happens.
Yeah, Colts have to pass out quite a bit of money this offseason. They've got quite a few big guys.
That probably why they're all in doing that Sauce Gardner trade. And they're like, this is our window. Because if they're going to re-sign Daniel Jones too, he's on a one-year contract for $14 million. Like, that's pretty low for a starting quarterback as well.
Yeah, luckily Sauce is only going to be $9.5 million against the cap next year too. And Daniel Jones, back-to-back questionable games. Look, that money might be at $45 million, that Bryce or Brock Purdy money, but I think now we're brought at $39 million a year. So hey, give me one maybe two more years of those games, Daniel Jones. We'll kick it down to $33 million a year.
Well, you don't really need him if Jonathan Taylor is going to get 300 yards and 3 touchdowns every single week.
They're going to have to repay Jonathan Taylor here soon, too. So that'll be interesting. Yep.
Tight ends.
Is disappointed. Brock Bowers, what a game. What about, like, a bounce back from last week. Came down to earth, tight end 27, one catch, 31 yards. Broncos are good at playing defense.
Yep, and the Raiders are bad at playing offense. Other one here, Aronde Gadsden left with an injury. He was seeing the targets. He had 6 targets before he left. Didn't look fantastic before he left, but either way, not much you can do. He's day to day with a bruised thigh. We'll hit that here in a second, but he looks like he's going to be okay. Probably potentially miss 1 week, but probably back by the second week.
Yeah, fingers crossed. He's been a bright spot in tight end position this week. All right, let's go to injuries. Let's talk about those. On bye weeks, we do have the Colts and the Saints, so you won't be getting any of those players, as well as some of these here in the injury roundup. Bucky Irving, Chris Godwin, no timetable, according to the coach. It's great. So I imagine week 11, we're probably out. Probably out for week 11, at least.
Yeah, they say Bucky, it's his shoulder, not his foot right now, that they're worried about, and they're saying he needs to be able to take a hit before he plays football again, which makes complete sense, but you know, if they're nervous about him taking a hit, shoulders are not something you can avoid. It's going to be probably a few more weeks.
Yay. Well, speaking of a few more weeks, Garrett Wilson, after the stinker he put up this past week, he will be out 3 to 4 weeks. Honestly, it's kind of nice. Yeah. When you look at the Jets players, there's one you want to play and one only. So
yeah, it stinks for those of us who have multiple Garrett Wilson in championship windows. But anyway, also another guy I've got multiple of, Dalton Kincaid, week to week, hamstring injury, pulled up, running a route. This was untouched, didn't look good right away. Probably a pulled hamstring, but that's something that tends to linger and probably going to hamper the whole offense a little bit. But
yeah, that offense is – could you imagine if they would have traded for a wide receiver at the deadline? There was rumors that Waddle was on the table for the Bills. I guess they were looking for, or the Dolphins wanted a 2026 first round pick in the package, and the Bills were only willing to get up a 27th. But Waddle made him regret it this week. That's for sure.
And did you hear about the Jets turning down the Chiefs for Breece Hall?
They were offering a fourth instead of a third.
Yeah. So instead, the Jets will just eat the contract and continue plummeting into oblivion. But anyway,
see them transition tagging them.
Yeah, I just don't want that to happen. Anyway, Brandon Ayuk still not practicing. Don't really have a set timetable for that. Probably not going to be for a few more weeks as well. This one was interesting.
I couldn't believe this.
Underdog Burrow popped up today. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Burrow coming back to practice, aiming for a week 13 comeback there, like right before the playoffs, so you have a couple weeks to kind of warm up? Or do we have a quarterback dispute here? Do they roll Flacco?
I think there's a controversy in store here. The whole team is going to come out and be like, we need to roll with Flacco. This is classic Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe situation.
Reversed ages, though.
Yeah, reversed ages. Terry McLaurin going to be out week 11. Been rough injury season for him, but he got paid, so good for him. Yeah, lost season for them.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Gadsden, like we said, day-to-day is what the report was. Hopefully. And Brenton Strange, we always need more tight ends coming back, and the Jags, they look like they could continue to use more help, so looks like he should be coming back off IR. And then this one was the big one. Is this first or second head coach firing? For some reason, I feel like we've already have
one. Second.
Oh, Tennessee. There we go.
Yeah.
Tennessee. Callahan's gone. And to join the club of the 2025 head coach firing, Daboll is day bye-bye. I mean, when you put your quarterback in this much of harm's way, I get it, Jackson Dart. It's fun and it's exciting, but these are big fellas out there. They're going to rock your noggin. And yeah, five times he's been evaluated for concussion this year.
Yeah. We also just watched Jaden Daniels, and just, you know, the whole world and social media just blew up Dan Quinn for doing this exact same thing. You know, game script is a little bit different and they're playing to win out there, but this dude is your future. You do not have a chance at a Super Bowl. Stop design rushing him up the middle. Yeah, you don't have a chance at playoffs. Like, just stop. I don't understand it, but here we are. Get him a concussion and get yourself fired. I don't know why Joe Shane is not fired as well. I guess the Jackson Dart pick like saved him for years of nonsense, but we'll see if he comes in. But for the time being, only Daboll.
Was that even his pick? Like, I heard Daboll loved him, and honestly, I thought it was the plan all along.
It was so obvious and easy. It was highly projected. They knew he wasn't going to go in the top 10. Everybody from like 11 to 22 didn't need a quarterback. They traded in front of the Rams. Everyone's like, wow. Like, they saw it coming. Everyone saw it coming. It was not some crazy script that had to be played out for them to see who are the teams that might have interest in them. And there's this huge window and gap of teams that didn't need a quarterback and were not going to take him. So I don't know.
Abdul Carter fell in their lap. And then, I see
Malik Nabers fell in their lap. These guys didn't hit. The guy fell to them.
Thibodeau, though, the guy that isn't even a full-time starter, he did trade. Didn't he trade up for him? And that's working out great.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is still definitely underperforming. Like, they have a lot of talent on the defense, and I actually thought they'd be pretty decent this year. But anyway,
folks, soapbox, we're off of it. We're on to the waiver wire here to check out some players. Let's talk some running backs we're willing to pick up here. The Titans coming off of their bye week. It's Spears. It's not sexy, but it's Spears. Pollard's still there. He didn't get traded, so it looks like an injury is really what would propel Spears into a full-time role. But he's a pass catcher. Maybe this team kind of, you know, without the head coach, the new direction, the new interim may take them. It's a shot in the dark, people. You're looking for running backs, we're throwing them out to you.
Yeah, I'd say almost everyone on this list. DeMercado sticks out to me a little bit. Bam Knight had an injury in this game. DeMercado definitely looks like the better of the two. He's got their trust, but that is only going to be short-lived. But if you need somebody for this upcoming week, he's probably the most likely to see 10 to 15 touches, where the rest of these guys are just kind of decent handcuffs and you're hoping for the best.
Yeah, it's kind of how I'm looking at the rest of these. Like, we've got Tootin on here on mm-hmm. Suxy Flex. We've got Roddy, as Mario likes to call him, Chris Rodriguez.
The first time I read that, I thought Roddy White, and I couldn't get that out of my head because I was like, who is he talking about here? But yeah, Chris Rodriguez. I got another touchdown.
Got a touchdown there. Samson was out there for the majority of third down plays for the Browns.
Didn't do anything. I'm pretty sure Samson and Ford combined had, and this is kind of going into my later in the podcast conversation, but Samson and Ford combined had four touches for 0 yards. So handcuff at best.
Yeah. Samaje Perine, maybe he continues to be involved. He was injured before they went into the bye week, so keep an eye on that. Tank Bigsby, we don't know how the Eagles game went, but hopefully Saquon finished it. But if not, Tank Bigsby would be the guy to own. Algier, Corum, like, these are all just handcuffs we have for you this week.
Yeah, and Algier also sticks out to me here because he's actually on the field getting significant touches. He's scoring touchdowns. Corum, once again, he's seeing touches, but all of these games have been in dominant game scripts. He hasn't been involved in a game that actually matters or is competitive. All these games we're seeing 8 to 12 touchdowns, they're up by 3 touchdowns by the time he starts really seeing touches.
And the Rams played the Seahawks this week, so I don't know if this is going to be just a cakewalk for him.
Nope, it's a tough matchup.
Any other running backs you want to touch on here? Oh, Keaton Mitchell, I don't know if I said him. He had a couple of explosive runs. Again, I don't think he's going to be ever much. I mean, Justice Hill stole the touchdown from the two of these guys.
Yeah, Mitchell I like still, but wildly boom or bust. You have no idea what's going to happen there.
Let's go to wide receivers. This one, number one we have on the list, he is going into his bye week, so you might be able to snipe him later on at the end of the week. But Alec Pierce, he's been a big part of this offense. This team continues. I think just the 2 weeks against the Steelers was the only week that they didn't score over 30 points. They got just there, just in time, in overtime this past week. But Alec Pierce, a big part of this offense. It's big plays as well, so he doesn't necessarily need a heavy target share. But we saw it get him done. It's 4 for 7 this past week. Scored the touchdown, 84 yards. Going back, 13 targets, 5 targets, 10 targets. It's good work.
Yeah, and he's somebody who just keeps getting left on waiver wires. But he's earned that wide receiver 2 spot that everyone kind of thought Josh Downs would take over, but it's definitely been Pierce. Daniel Jones is looking for him all over the field. His touchdown was a bomb into coverage and was a really nice catch. He looks good. He looks the part. He's going to get paid somewhere this offseason, even if it's not in Indianapolis.
Who else you got?
We kind of hit Troy Franklin, low ADOT, but he's seen the targets. I think between 8 and 10 each of the last 2 weeks, he's right there. And the offense is going to be better, as much as we kind of hate on them in this podcast. But they, you know, targets are a telltale sign. So if you need a flex play, again, 40 yards on 9 targets this week, he got the touchdown, but still kind of a low floor. He had 10 targets the week before and 27 yards. So, you know, I'd like to see this whole offense take a step forward. Christian Watson, though, super interesting. We're going into this game because Matthew Golden is out. Tucker Kraft is out. Really, you know, he's coming back from the injury, but I'm excited to see how he plays tonight.
Over-under's at 33.5. Hope he crushes it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one catch.
That's great.
It's just, does he make that catch or not?
That's the great part. Darius Slayton's on the list as well.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, I presume, is coming back. If we get Jameis Winston, it's all hands on deck. I don't care what the wide receiver's name is. I'm picking him up. But Darius Slayton, if it's Russell Wilson, you could do worse.
Tez, 2 touchdowns this week.
Yeah, look at that.
Pretty nice. You know, I don't think he's going to score 2 touchdowns every week, but he did see 5 targets, 4 catches, 42 yards. That's tough to follow up, but yeah. Baker is kind of one of those dudes who's elevating everyone around him. And somehow this team is staying competitive despite not really having Mike Evans or Chris Godwin this entire season.
Or Bucky Irving.
Or Bucky Irving, yeah.
Yeah, they get a tough match against the Bills this coming week. You can definitely run on them. So, you know, it opens up the play action for them. And despite them being 6-3, it's been a rough last few games. So I'm hoping they can kind of continue the trend that they had this past week and at least get the offense rocking and rolling.
Kayshon Boutte out last week.
Hopefully coming back from that.
Maybe coming back. Somebody might have dropped him. I know you got Kyle Williams here. It's kind of a stretch for me, but
this was, yeah, somebody we brought up last week. Again, he's kind of below the line of where I want to add. It's mainly just a name you should know. A name that could be, you know, should be on the radar, especially in 12-team leagues. He kind of the fill-in for Booty. Only one catch, but 72 yards and a touchdown. Showed why he went in the second round of the draft, or maybe that's just because the Patriots overdraft wide receivers. Who knows?
It was the third, but it was the, very top of the third. Yeah.
Day two. Day two pick.
Day two, yeah.
So, yeah, Kyle Williams, just a name to know. Let's keep an eye on it. But most likely it's going to be Booty's role there that Kyle Williams will fill in. But fingers crossed, they get him more involved. A.D. Mitchell is a name to talk about here. I know, Colts fourth wide receiver. No, he is with the Jets now. And I think he's the most talented wide receiver on the Jets right now as far as their active roster, because Garrett Wilson's going to miss the next 3 to 4 weeks. I really don't want to play anything other than Breece for this team. But if you're in a pinch, you know,
yeah, it's there. Could be a good DFS name. like, truly, he's going to be dirt cheap, and there's no other wide receivers to throw to. So just a name to keep in mind. He is a second-round talent. Colts spent the draft capital on him. It's been more personality concerns. So, yeah, we'll see if he can kind of revive that. He had that huge long touchdown for Indy when I think Pierce was out, but then he dropped it at the one-yard line, and I think the Colts just doghoused him in that moment, and we're like, we are getting rid of this guy as soon as we possibly can. So he was, he kind of became a throw-in piece. Yep. One more name just to monitor, Luther Burden, top of the second round this year. A lot of mouths to feed in Chicago, but he is kind of starting to get on the field a little bit more. But if Rome or DJ Moore, Zacchaeus, like kind of any of those guys go down, he's going to step into a bigger role.
And this is a guy, he needs less touches. Like, you know, you want to see him in there with 5, 6, 7 targets, you know, a game would be amazing. I don't know if we're quite yet that, but I do think that he can get a lot more done on less touches, just the nature of how he plays. So I'm hoping we get a little bit more scripted plays for him, but just, again, keep an eye on him, especially Roman Zacchaeus banged up, or Roman DJ banged up a bit.
Yeah, Roman was pretty solid this week. I'd have to check DJ, but the whole team has been – all the skill players have been on the injury report for the last 3 weeks. None of them are practicing Wednesdays. They're kind of just trying to catch up.
That's how I like. I like to take Wednesdays off too. I get that.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Quarterbacks, Joe Flacco coming back from the bye. Hopefully he was dropped and you can pick him up.
Yep. Mariota kind of continues to put up QB1 numbers when he's got the opportunity. McLaurin's out again, but his defense really isn't going to be able to stop anybody. And he's got the legs. So we saw the number 6 to 12 of the QBs this week, and it shows anybody can kind of fill in and throw themselves into that list.
And honestly, on the other end of that game, like that's the Spain game, Tua, you know, if you're down bad enough, I think that you could pivot to worse. They're playing the Commanders. You can score on the Commanders. So I think both of those might be decent streaming options this week.
Yep. Lastly, we've got Joseph Burrow. If you have a bench spot that you can kind of throw in there, my gut says he's not going to be back week 13, but who knows? I'm in first place in one league and I'm streaming every single week, and that might just have to be a stash and hope for the best, and, you know, waste that spot or have a lottery ticket at the end of the season. But
no kidding. Tight ends. Yeah, Luke Musgrave. We haven't seen the game yet. He was somebody I wanted to keep an eye on, but I wasn't exactly excited to stream him this week against Philly. It's a tough matchup. But with Golden out, Kraft out, as you alluded to earlier, you know, the targets pass around. Jordan Love refuses to give anybody more than a 24% target share. Watch, he gives Watson a 40% target share tonight. As he deserves. But yeah, Musgrave, he could easily give you 70% of what you got from Kraft. Not quite as talented, but the opportunity is going to be there.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this last week too, but Musgrave and Kraft were drafted in the same class, and Musgrave was actually drafted first between the two of them. So he was taken in the second round, Kraft in the fourth round. And for that first season, really the first half of that season, Musgrave looked like the dude and Kraft was not getting on the field. And it wasn't until an injury that Kraft stepped on and really never let Musgrave take the job back. So it wouldn't be crazy for Musgrave to have a pretty decent second half of the season here, and year three for them too. So I like him. Again, this might be a bad spot for them against Philadelphia, but it's somebody that I stashed last week, and I've got Tyler Warren on a bye coming up, and I definitely plan on using him that week.
Nice. Darren Waller, somebody to keep an eye on. Should be coming back from IR here pretty soon. Yeah, I mean, if he comes out there, we saw what he can do as far as the touchdowns. Also, Isaiah Likely, you know, keep an eye out there. This team's kind of all over the place with where where the ball goes. But last 2 weeks, 5 targets and 4 targets for Likely. Only 17 yards this week, but 60 the week prior. Andrews, he's a big touchdown force, you know, but he's not really getting it done outside of the touchdowns lately. So Isaiah Likely, somebody you can keep an eye on.
Yeah, and Likely is a guy who can – he would step in if Andrews went down or Flowers went down. And we saw that in the playoffs of last year as well. He Likely was a leading receiver on the team with no Zay Flowers in the playoffs. So I really like him as a stash. Again, unless one of those two guys goes down, he's probably not going to be consistent. But you definitely could do worse. He's just performed better and better each year, kind of overcoming a foot injury right now. But if he's healthy in the second half of the season, I think that's going to be a decent part of the Ravens' second half run.
And then Theo Johnson, he was a streamer for us this past week. I'm not exactly sure how the targets are going to be passed around, you know, with Russell Wilson coming back. He didn't exactly shine onto the tight ends, but who knows, something to keep an eye on. I don't know if I'm exactly playing him this week. Possibly, maybe. Check out the streaming article over there on QBList.com where we have quarterbacks, tight ends, defenses that you want to stream, all of the amazing articles, the start sits, the what we saw, the in-depth recap from each and every game, QBList.com. Check it out. Nice. What else you got as far as streamers?
That's all I got on my list here.
Sweet. Trade deadlines, they are approaching, whether it's this week or I imagine the week after. I think week after is for most.
Yeah, 21st or something for most leagues.
Yeah, so it's coming up soon. We're going to go over a few buys, a few sells. Nick, take it away. What do you have?
Yes, sir. I've got 4 running back buys here, and some of these names we've talked about before. First one, who I really like here, is Quinshon Judkins. We talked a bit about Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson. 4 touches, 0 yards. Quinshon seeing 18 plus touches every single week. Next 5 weeks, they've got Baltimore, who is coming back a bit. But first half of the season was pretty easy to run on. Then we've got Vegas, should be easy to run on. San Francisco, who just is too depleted to do anything. Titans and Bears. This is a great schedule upcoming for Quinshon. He didn't get the touchdown this week. We had a few passing touchdowns from Gabriel, but really like the workload. He's a bell cow back right now. You know, game script is really the only thing that's going to take him out, but there's no competition for touches in that backfield. You want to go or you want me to run through stuff here?
Go for it. I'll jump in.
All right. Jalen Warren, second straight week. We'll talk about him. He's got Cincinnati, Chicago, Buffalo, Baltimore, and Miami, several favorable matchups in those next 5 weeks. Not a great playoff matchup for the fantasy playoffs, but said this last week, you have to get to the playoffs to even worry about that. Another guy who's seeing full workload. He's on the field in passing downs. He's on the field in rushing downs. He's exactly kind of what you want. He's providing a very low or very high floor as well. So he's kind of one of those safe names that doesn't really have huge RB1 weeks, those giant spike weeks, but he's giving you a high floor, which is still very valuable. Kind of going to the defensive theme, we've got Derrick Henry. They've got Cleveland this week, which is usually an ugly game, but then they've got the Jets, who just traded away any useful piece on their team outside of Breece Hall, which is the main one who wanted to leave. Then they've got Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, who is a Jekyll and Hyde act, and then Cincinnati again. So after Cleveland, again, Jets, Cincinnati. You got Cincinnati twice in the next 4 weeks, which is just a dream scenario. This team is getting healthier. Defense is getting healthier. That game script is kind of going into their favor a little bit. As long as Justice Hill doesn't steal the goal line touches, then he should be kind of in line for that workload.
I think this is probably my favorite one of the bunch, is the Derrick Henry for running back. Just the better game script. There's light now. There's life in this team. We see the playoffs. They seem playoff bound, so Henry coming up, and yeah, like you said, Cincinnati twice in 3 weeks. Ooh, it's money.
Yeah, he's my favorite. He's probably the most difficult to get, somebody who spent the draft capital on him. You know, we got the snow model, so everybody knows he gets stronger as the season goes on. But last one, Trey Benson. Again, there's been confusion in this backfield for the last, since he left, basically the last like 5 or 6 weeks. Bam Knight is injured. Michael Carter, who knows what his stance is with the team. DeMercado seems like the guy right now, but assuming Benson comes back healthy in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you know, is a depth piece for now, but somebody who, if you can afford to have that depth piece, once it hits your playoffs, you may have a guy who probably is going to see 12 to 15 touches.
And I imagine they're going to try and lean on him. This is a coach. This is probably one of the hotter seats in football right now after Daboll leaving. Wide receivers, you know, the continued trend of the Vikings wide receivers is there.
Yeah, Jalen Naylor.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this call. 5 of the next 7 are bottom pass 10 pass defenses. That's great. J.J. McCarthy, this was a weird game. Like, both those interceptions, didn't a receiver fall down or there was some sort of, like, weird contact?
Yeah, kind of some weird stipulation with it.
Yeah, and that offensive line is just absolutely horrendous. The two Colts pieces that they gave up for the offensive line were, we're seeing that maybe that was a big issue with them last year.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be one of the top offensive lines. They've had some injuries, but really not putting them in a position to succeed. But this kind of opens your window. This might be one of the only times you can go buy Justin Jefferson a little bit cheaper. Jordan Addison, also a much cheaper piece. But again, 5 out of the next 7 games are against bottom 10 pass defenses, which is an ideal situation. This one, he's got a little bit tougher matchups coming up, but Michael Pittman, you know, he's been a little spotty in his career, but wide receiver 13 in points per game before this week. So again, everybody else 8 besides him. So these weeks happen, but if somebody's like, I'm out, this is what the Colts look like now, then could have a nice little wide receiver 3 who's going to give you wide receiver 2 numbers on most weeks.
Yeah, we're seeing the influx in jokes, the Daniel Jones, you know, the pumpkin jokes. Whether or not it's true, Pittman's still going to see the volume. He's still going to be heavily involved most weeks. So I like this as well.
Yeah, and last year he just wasn't healthy. Yeah. So it feels like a long time since we've seen him, but he was playing through like a broken back last year. So
Indy also had quarterback suckedness or something like that. It's a weird thing where you have Joe Flacco and Anthony Richardson tossing the rock. And
it's very hard to pronounce.
Yeah, very, very bad.
Although Joe Flacco looks pretty good with some weapons. Anyway, we'll move on to sells here. Number one sell, quarterback, Caleb Williams. This is currently my only quarterback in the league I was referring to before. But he's had some really high scoring fantasy games. He's looked okay, but a lot of this has come in like garbage time, some late game rushing touchdowns. And 6 out of the next 7 games that he has left are against top 15 fantasy defenses. I really don't like the trend of this. So I'm hoping to somehow capitalize and use him and maybe one other piece and go get like Dak or something for my end of season run here. Or I just stash Burrow and pray to the fantasy gods.
Yeah, the nice selling point with him the last couple of weeks, 63, 53, and 24 rushing yards. So being able to stack that up with, you know, the Bears are looking a little bit better. I do like the idea of adding him into a trade and flipping him.
Yeah, hard to do QB trades in one QB leagues, but this guy we mentioned last week and earlier in the show, but Kyle Manungai, again, he was out-touched 18-7. He had 28 yards and a touchdown. Swift had 18 touches, including 8 targets, and this kind of falls into the same thing, but bad defensive schedule coming up. He's got Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Cleveland, Green Bay. So Minnesota and Pittsburgh, theoretically, we should be scared of them. We don't really know what shows up week to week, but then you got Philadelphia, Green Bay, Cleveland, Green Bay, and I just do not want to be a part of that at all, especially as the second running back. Yeah.
Yeah, that 3-game stretch of the Green Bay and Cleveland, that's going to be bad. Very, very bad. You get Jerry Jeudy on this list. Who even owns Jerry Jeudy to sell Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, I don't know. I struggled to find too much here. I mean, all the guys kind of in the wide receivers. We got Jerry Jeudy. If there's some world you have a Jerry Jeudy believer, then go for it.
Yeah, unless you're playing with his mom, I don't think that you're going to find one of those.
I mean, tough to, you maybe you could sell this guy, but Parker Washington, someone I actually have liked throughout the years, what I've seen, but I don't anticipate this usage. He had a punt return touchdown. Probably going to see a lot of targets the next few weeks with the main guys out, but got to think Jacoby Myers gets a little more involved. These are really just package pieces, and you're trying to upgrade to something else. Before the fantasy playoffs, I'm always trying to really make the best possible starting roster, and I'm trying not to worry about injuries or too much depth. When I get to the trade deadline, then I'm really trying to package as many of my bench players together to make the best possible starting roster and just go for it. I'm like the Rams when they traded away every draft pick to go in against the Bengals that year.
This one's weird because I have found myself in rooting interest with Parker Washington just with the role he's had. He's definitely outperformed. But with the coach speak on Jacoby Myers, where they want to get him more involved, move him more into the slot moving forward. He was outside a lot more just, you know, the first week on the team. And that's where the bread and butter is with this head coach, Liam Cohen, the slot player, the Chris Godwin role, something within that. So, you know, between that and Brenton Strange coming back, I do find myself wanting to sell Parker Washington, or just kind of like the thought of going into the playoffs with him as my wide receiver three. That's not a great feeling, but just the involvement I'm seeing right now, it's hard. So maybe that's a good thing. It makes him easier to move on to somebody else.
Yeah, and I like him. And we've made jokes throughout this whole season and been like, he's the only one on this team who can catch. And it's kind of true. And unfortunately, it's kind of taken these injuries to get these other guys out of the way. But whenever he's had the opportunity, he's looked pretty good. But I'm not afraid to package him and move up if I can get somebody a little bit more consistent. Or even like, you know, we were talking about Jameson Williams. Can you package Parker Washington and one other bench player and get Jameson Williams? To me, I'm still okay making that move, even though he's going to be pretty volatile. I trust the offense more. I've seen it for consistent periods of time. So, you know, not somebody I'm just going out and targeting, but I wouldn't be afraid to make that move.
Yeah, 26 targets over the last 3 weeks. I think you might be able to move him. I like
Yeah, that. You got a chance.
Last guy on the list, who do you have?
Juwan Johnson, tight end 2 on the week. We've seen this before. He's going to go up and down. Shuck looked pretty good this week. Alave had an incredible catch. His touchdown, he was pretty much standing wide open, running down the sideline. I just don't trust the Saints. They're going into their bye. So I'm sending out these trades. If I have Juwan Johnson, I'm sending these out as soon as possible before your Yahoo, ESPN, Sleeper, whoever you're using, switches to next week's bye. And I'm just trying to ride that high on the recent tight end 2 week. But yeah, can you move him up? You know, who do you like as a tight end buy? I didn't really list anybody here, but
we're streaming.
Anyone on the Rams? No. I mean, yeah, it's kind of tough, but
it's hard buying a tight end right now.
Man, there is nobody.
Tucker Kraft and Gadsden injuries. The people who have a good start in tight end, they don't want to get rid of them. And then outside of that, they're all streaming pieces.
So, yeah, Warren goes into a bye week next week. No, I'm not selling Warren. But I'm saying, like, can you turn him into Warren? And, I guess not with Brian.
I just don't see anybody selling some of those top end tight end. Like Brock Bowers, no, you know, nobody wants to get rid of
him. I'm not going to mention Bowers, yeah.
McBride, Laporta, Kittle, Warren, I feel like all five of those are kind of like auto locks nobody's going to get rid of just because of the volatility that you get at the tight end position. You know, Hockenson, he's a streamer.
No, Kelsey's you can't.
A streamer. Andrews is a streamer. Colston, Loveland, a streamer. Njoku. I mean, Njoku, if Fannin was a little banged up going into this one, so Njoku might have a little bit of life here in this next week or two, but it's so bad out there.
Yeah, I try to bring one at each position at least, but yeah, I don't have an example of what the move would be here. I don't trust any of these guys.
No, it's what your league gives you, what the waiver wire produces for you. Hopefully.
I mean, even if you can go lateral though and just get yourself out of that bye week, if you can do something sideways and just sell him and then he's on the bye, but yeah, it's just going to be volatile.
Nice. Nick, what else do you have for the people before we get out of here?
Just want to say thank you all for being here each week. We appreciate you. Feel free to reach out with trade offers and what you're looking for. We're happy to give our advice. Send it all to @TooMuchBrian. You can find me here each week and writing Wednesday mornings for the Fantasy Footballers as well.
Nice. Folks, yeah, if you're looking for me, it is @TooMuch_Brian. If you're looking for any of my stuff, it usually goes through my Twitter feed. Again, check out my article and all of the other amazing articles we have over there at QBList.com, football.pitcherlist.com if you want to go the long one. Thanks for listening. Appreciate y'all being here. If you're listening on Spotify, drop any of your questions down below. We thank y'all for being here, and we'll see you tomorrow night for the next episode.